The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning, by way of this homily, I would like us to spend some time using our Catholic imagination, trying to project what all of these events that we just heard proclaimed in the gospel would have seemed like to Lazarus, the dead man. You notice in the scripture passage today, Lazarus is the one raised from the dead, but he doesn't have a single speaking part. He doesn't say a word. He is simply an instrumental cause for God to show his power through his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some things that we should consider from Lazarus's perspective, because I think they give us a deeper insight into what it means to be a friend of Jesus. And you may agree after hearing my homily that being a friend of Jesus is an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste. It is not something that comes to most people naturally. If it were, discipleship would not be a struggle. And it is. So being a friend of Jesus is an acquired taste. And perhaps Lazarus, who says nothing about his friendship with Jesus, but is very much central in the story, can show us why. So this is an interesting moment in Lazarus's life, isn't it? It's his death. So he's dying, and he's entered now into the death stage of life, the end. And so what do Martha and Mary do? Naturally, they know our blessed Lord is very close. He's not even that far away. And he's also very emotionally close to them. He's a dear friend. In fact, there's a tradition in the Holy Land that whenever Jesus came to Jerusalem, because it was only 2 miles away, he would actually spend most of his time with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus in Bethany, just a couple of miles away, maybe not even that far. And in fact, Jesus may have only spent one night of his entire life here on earth in Jerusalem, in the city. That was the night he was held prisoner in the dungeon of Caiaphas' house, a high priest, before he was tried in front of Pilate on Good Friday. So the Martha, Mary, and Lazarus family were very, very close to our Lord. And what do they say to him? They say, Lord, your friend Lazarus, the one you love, is dying. And what does Jesus say? Okay, we're going to stick around here for 2 more days. That is a very odd thing to say. If one of your loved ones was dying, you got a phone call and you said, it's time, you've got to come to the hospital now. The last thing you probably say is, I've got some stuff to do, but I'll be over in a couple of days. And it's just an odd thing to say. And in fact, do not the people who are bystanding remark to each other, could not the one who had made the man born blind see have done something so that this man would not have died? And what do we learn? By the time Jesus arrives at the tomb and says, roll back the stone, how long he had been dead? 4 days. 4 days. And you ask yourself, why did he wait? Could he have not just shown up on time? Or, this is Jesus we're talking about, right? Could he have not just said from where he was, Lazarus, be healed? He would have been healed. We've seen this a lot in the Gospels. But no, he decides to wait 4 days. Well, you might ask why. Well, in Judaism at the time, and it wasn't only a Jewish thought, but in antiquity, there was a thought that after someone died, it was possible that they may have not died, and that the soul was hovering around, or so they thought, and could re-enter the body within 3 days, and that person would wake up. We actually have a situation in this country in the 1800s that I actually saw with my own eyes, evidence of it, in regards to how we came up with the term dead ringers. You may know this. There's a disease type that I don't know what they call it, but what it was is that doctors thought that the patient was dead. Turns out they weren't dead. They were in a very, very deep coma. Turns out they would wake up inside the tomb. Awful, right? They were not dead, but they would awake. So I was once in a cemetery in Savannah, Georgia, with some of my youth group. Don't ask us why we were in a cemetery in Savannah, Georgia. It's different, not important. But the guide was telling us that in yesteryear, what they would do is the rich could afford to have someone wait above the tomb, 6 feet above. And what they would do is they would put a string through the top of the casket, right where the hands of the dead person was, and then the string would go all the way to the surface of the cemetery ground, and there'd be a little horseshoe or a little contraption with a little bell. And they would wait there for up to a week, sometimes two, depending on the size of the amount of money left to the person waiting. And if someone awoke inside the casket, you pull the string and say, "I'm down here, get me out of here." Okay, so you see the person walking around town the next day and say, "Oh, you're a dead ringer for so-and-so who died last week." That's where you get the term, dead ringer. That was in the 1800s in this country. We're going back a couple thousand years. There was this thought that maybe the soul was still hovering above the body, and maybe miraculously, by the mercy of God, the soul would re-enter the body, animate it, and the person thought dead would be considered alive. So why does Jesus wait 4 days? Because that was only thought possible for the first 3 days. So Jesus wants to leave no doubt. What I'm about to do here is not one of these cases you've seen happen before. They're equivalent of dead ringers. But 4 days have passed now. In fact, Martha says to our Lord, "Lord, by now, what? There will be a stench." So decomposition has definitely begun. So imagine from Lazarus' perspective, though, in all of this, before he dies, when he's still alive, lying on his deathbed, do you think it ever occurred to him at some point in those days, "Lord, are you coming? Lord, did the word not get to you on time? Lord, do you have anything better to be doing right now? We're really good friends. Why are you not even coming to see me? Set aside the cure of my illness leading to death. Why are you not even coming to see me?" So I could only imagine what Lazarus must have said to Jesus when he was raised from the dead. Like, what was that about? Like, what were you thinking? Like, that's not funny. Okay, I'm not a science project. All right, you can imagine this. I mean, this is perhaps what inspired St. Teresa of Avila to say once, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few." So you see, what is the lesson in all of that? Well, sometimes our Lord permits things to happen to us, experiences that we would rather not go through, including death, by the way, including death, which is the most terminal of experiences any human person can experience, is it not? Our Lord, even He'll allow you. He will allow you to go through a really tough time. Now, as much as this was a wonderful demonstration of Jesus' power, it was a tremendous test of Lazarus' faith. We often forget that. He was put through a trial in this entire thing. You know he must have been thinking, "Are you coming to help me? Or at least to stop in to say goodbye?" I mean, we've sent enough advance notice, and yet Lazarus has to stick it out. He has to remain with the Lord, even though the Lord is offering him absolutely no consolation in spite of so much suffering, in fact, death itself. Now, so there's more to it, though, than just becoming a person who's tested by Jesus. There's actually more to it. Many people do not realize this in John's Gospel. This miracle occurs in chapter 11. But we often forget this dimension of Lazarus' life after his being raised from the dead. This is in chapter 12. So what you heard this morning is from chapter 11. But listen to what chapter 12 says, verse 9. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, this is Jesus, they came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. People were coming to see Lazarus. Wouldn't you? If you knew someone had been raised from the dead by Jesus and he lived fairly close by, you might want to stop in and just say, "Is it for real? I want to see this in my own eyes," right? So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. That should bring out two dimensions of friendship with Jesus, discipleship. The first is this. Believe you me, the chief priests were not exactly happy about what had happened to Lazarus. They were livid. And not only that, Lazarus became a target. They weren't just trying to kill Jesus, they were also trying to kill Lazarus. You know, I think sometimes we have this idyllic picture of the miracle, and Lazarus is raised from the dead, and everyone's in amazement and rejoicing. Not everyone was. And John writes, the chief priests wanted to put Lazarus to death as well, because many people were leaving Judaism to join Jesus. What's the lesson there? If you want to be a friend of Jesus, you better watch out. You better watch out. There are people who are going to ruin you for being a friend of Jesus. And we see this played out on the most local level in families, among friends, to the highest levels of our government. Friends of Jesus have a target on their back. If you think everyone's excited about you being a friend of Jesus, think again. There are many people, in fact, people with tremendous power over you in this life, who have absolutely no interest in you being a friend of Jesus. The lesson of this dimension of Lazarus' life is don't be naive. Do not be naive. There are many people out there, be forewarned, that do not want you to become or to see you become a friend of Jesus. Why? Because many people potentially could leave their way and join the way of Jesus. And the person who is most disinterested in seeing that happen is the evil one. The evil one is highly disinterested in seeing you become a friend of Jesus, let alone bring others with you. If it happened to Lazarus, who was raised from the dead and a friend of Jesus, you better believe it'll happen to you. Be forewarned. Lastly, one last thing to consider about Lazarus's being raised from the dead, and I'll conclude with this point. Easter's 2 weeks away from today. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Okay, we're close. Lent's almost over. It's almost there. We're definitely on the short end of Lent now, being done. Lazarus's being raised from the dead was not the only story of resuscitations in the Gospels. There are two others, so we know for sure, who were raised from the dead. The son of the widow of Nain, or in Hebrew, Naim, and Jairus' daughter. Lazarus, the son of the widow of Nain, and Jairus' daughter are the three persons Jesus raises from the dead. Lazarus, like the other two, point us then to Easter. Lazarus, the son of the widow of Nain, and Jairus' daughter would all experience death again. They would. They'd all die. They were not resurrected. They were raised from the dead. They were dead and raised back to life. What we're going to celebrate here and across the Christian world in 2 weeks is not resuscitation. We are not going to celebrate people rising from the dead in the way that these three individuals were raised. Because why? They'll die again. What's going to happen in 2 weeks when we celebrate Easter is not about resuscitation. It's about resurrection. And that is an entirely different reality than resuscitation. The resurrected do not die again. Ask Jesus of Nazareth. The resurrected do not die again. The three I mentioned, including Lazarus, they would die again. And there is a fourth dimension, if you like, of reality, of existence, beyond our eyes, because we only see in three dimensions, that resurrection opens us up to. We will see in the coming weeks proofs of what a resurrected body is like, what a resurrected body can do. That is, the body that can walk through solid objects, through a closed, locked door. A body that can appear and disappear, like on the road to Emmaus. A body that can look like another individual. Mary Magdalene thought she was seeing a gardener. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize who it was until they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And a body that bears the marks of the passion, yet feels no pain. Thomas puts his hand in Jesus' side. The apostles probe the nail marks on his wrists. This is a different reality, folks. An entirely different reality. So right now, today, if your view of resurrection is simply resuscitation, think again. It is far beyond that, far greater than that. And it is a mystery that we cannot fully apprehend and yet have only slight insights to in this life. So let us pray to have those eyes to see that while this magnificent miracle, true as it may be, historically accurate as it was, it is not the ultimate reality. Lazarus would die again. A resurrected Jesus, whose memory we celebrate at Easter in 2 weeks, does not. And he leads us to a new reality, a new dimension, a new existence that Lazarus, in his silence in today's gospel, could never have fathomed. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.